listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
See, I'm a 5-star bitch cause I ain't that other bitch. She be struggling for hers from the womb. I've been rich. I ain't gotta talk about the money in the shoot game. All you gotta do is Google Trina. See the proof, man. Cause ain't none of these hoes doing shows in a recession. They cars get declined. Now they suffering a depression. While I'm spending meals, signing all kinds of deal. I'm a 5-star bitch eating 5-star meals. My whole lifestyle like coming to America. All my Louis luggage. See my bag, how I carry her, walking through the airport like I'm in a parade on my hologram, logging on the E-Trade. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Y'all's Rod and
I'm a 5-star bitch, Karen.
That's right. We are back in the house on a Saturday, ready for your feedback.
Oh my God, this beautiful.
That's right.
Rod, you've been saying that all goddamn week long, every morning. And the first time, the shit scared me to death because I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, every time Karen's getting ready to go to work and I get out of the bed and I walk into the living room while she's in the kitchen, and I say that because, you know, we got a new apartment and it is beautiful.
I clear this, it's beautiful. I love it.
It makes me have to, you know, makes me want to say it.
Oh my God, this beautiful.
It is. It is.
That's the only way to describe some things.
But yeah, this has been an interesting week. We got some feedback to get to.
Yes.
You guys who sent in comments, voted in the polls, donated to the show, left us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. You know, we got to talk about it, man. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do those things, because without you guys, I mean, the show would pretty much suck. It'd just be me and Karen in a room and talking to ourselves and then nobody listening. So, like, nobody. We need y'all to continue to spread the word. And, you know, 5-star reviews help that. You know, leaving comments lets us know, you know, what you think about the things that we're saying. You know, there's a lot of different ways and different avenues to contact us, emailing us, theblackouttips@gmail.com. So it's just a bunch of stuff and a bunch of ways to get in contact with the show. And we appreciate everybody that takes the time out to do that, by the way. Okay.
We do.
Cause, you know, it helps out. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
The unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 598 that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up in jail. 598, y'all. Almost 600 in a couple of days. Also look forward to this week. We should have Nick Jew on the show.
Woohoo!
And we should have JL Covan on the show. Got some pretty good guests this week coming up. The first thing I wanted to do, though, before we even get to the donations, is I wanted to give a shout out to the people who, we have an Amazon wish list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't update it often, to be honest. No. I think of stuff like that, you know, but, someone on Twitter hit me up and was like, hey, could you, update y'all's wish list? Cause I want to get you something. And I was like, all right, cool. Let me take a look at that and, get back to you. And, I took a look and added some things, and some people did send us some stuff. My man Damian Jackson. I am for real. He hooked us up. I believe he sent maybe Karen some earrings or something, some Hornets earrings.
Yes.
So we appreciate that. That was on the list.
And I'll be sporting them.
And then we had an anonymous person send two different things. Like, we got a towel set that we needed. So, like, thank you. I don't know what else to say.
You know who you are. Thank you.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the thing. When we move, like, we try to throw out as much stuff as possible because, you know, your stuff gets cluttered. Your spaces don't look neat anymore. Mm-hmm. You start collecting stuff and it's collecting dust and taking up room. And so we just kind of inventoried everything. And there were things that we threw out where I'm just like, well, we'll have to buy another silverware thing when we get there. We'll have to buy towels and stuff. So we just put that stuff on the site and, you know, let people hook us up, man. So we appreciate y'all, man.
We thank you. For those of you that have moved, you completely understand. And so we thank you for people that think enough about us to help us during our moving process.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get to the people that did take the time out to donate, though. We play a little selection here.
Got a visiting choir today?
Visiting choir all the way from Atlanta. Monica B, recurring donator. Thank you, Monica. Rock from the Black Astronauts podcast crew hooked us up.
Thank you, sweetie.
Connor hooked us up with the recurring donation. Thank you very much, Connor. Jason J, recurring donator. Marlon M, recurring donator. Thank you, Marlon. Katie G, brand new recurring donator. Thank you, Katie. Well, thank you so much. Justin J, recurring donator. Thank you. Chriselle, recurring donator. Thank you, Chriselle.
Yes.
Asia D. Yes, Asia D, recurring donator.
Thank you, baby.
Martha F. You're not Batman or Superman's mama, is you? Just checking, not. Martha. Let me know. Because I think you can stop some wars.
I hope so.
Latonya D, recurring donator. Thank you, Latonya. Mm-hmm. Candace H, recurring donator. Nerds in Luxury, brand new recurring donator.
Oh, thank you.
Luxurious Nerds hooking us up. I feel like they sent that from definitely an iPhone 12. Because they can afford it because they nerds.
Right.
Marvin B. Yes, Marvin B, recurring donator. Nicole F, recurring donator. Early Daisy Photography, recurring donator.
Thank you.
A Woodsy, Wood A, recurring donator. Mr. Span, you guys know him from the Span Report, recurring donator.
Thank you.
Andy S, recurring donator. Got a one-time donation from Denise M. Actually, she sent two one-time donations. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
I don't know if you meant to do that or not. Let me know. Shayna W, recurring donator. Patrick D, recurring donator.
Thank you, Patrick.
Janine R, recurring donator. Mary H, I guess she H, as in had a little lamb. Stefan H, recurring donator. No relation. My man Eric, all the way from FSU. Attitude check.
Bronco Pride.
You know what it is. Let's see who else we got here. Stalled out on me. Hold on. All right, there we go. Waste Bees by Sura. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, recurring donator. Latonya B, recurring donator. Hugh G, recurring donator. Alexander M, recurring donator. Lisala P, one-time donation. Thank you, Lisala. Terry W, recurring donator. I feel like we should never take a week off again. This is a lot of reading. I have never, this is so much.
We thank you, everybody.
Jason F, recurring donator.
Yeah, they was like, oh, y'all gonna take a week off. We're gonna be sure y'all come back now. Y'all coming back.
Y'all gonna get your shout out. Gerard L, recurring donator. Calvin N, recurring donator. Tawana J, recurring donator.
Thank you.
Lena S, recurring donator. Damn, we made it to the breakdown. Sublime O, recurring donator, says, just adding to your fund. I wish I could donate more, but I just got my braces off my for my daughter. I just got my braces for my daughter. I hope the transition to your new home goes lovely. Thanks. Care. P.S. I ordered Bevel, use TBGWT for 20% off. I'm a woman who shaves my chin. Damn, menopause. And I love Bevel. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
And good luck with your daughter's braces. Mm-hmm. You know, we appreciate you hooking us up.
Anything people give is enough.
Right. Well, actually, I say if your kid got crooked teeth and it's between the braces of giving us the money, give us the money. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you can get used to some crooked teeth. But I can't get a jet without no money. Muhammad H, recurring donator. Cedric W, Larry B, recurring donator, brand new recurring donator. See you in the new members class.
Thank you.
And oh damn, I sent this to the wrong one. All right, and is there more? There is more. Okay, we need another selection. Hold on.
Shit, we gotta have another visiting choir. All right, we was constantly. Thank you, boys from Atlanta. Thank you very much.
Appreciate y'all coming all the way up.
Yeah, since we look like we having a concert here, we gonna bring up the next choir to come after you.
All right, here's the next selection, for the choir. All right, Robert M, recurring donator. Cecil H, recurring donator.
Hey, y'all.
B. Coleman, okay, recurring donator. A double recurring donator. This is a lot of recurring. Did you mean to recur twice? Let me know, dog. Let me know. Larry B. Oh, wait, that's just a regular ass subscription. All right, cool. Woo. went through them all. Ooh, that was a lot, yo. I was like, what was that 13 days worth of shit in one sitting? So anyway, thank you so much, everybody.
Yes, took the time y'all out. Keeping the boat afloat.
We know you ain't have to, but you did, and that's what we talking about, y'all. We appreciate y'all. All right, let's get into the actual feedback. Okay, we got 5-star reviews. Mm-hmm. 5-star reviews all up on your iTunes. We didn't get any on Stitcher, I don't believe, but we did get some on iTunes. We read them as long as they're nice. That's mm-hmm. pretty much the rule. Yemi Mac hit us with funny takes on serious topics, 5 stars. Rod and Karen bring much needed levity to many of today's serious topics, but plus some nonsense in between. Not PC, just so you know, but it will make you think, and they constantly promote other podcasts that you may find interesting. Thank you. Appreciate you, Yemi Mac. Court_A says, love it. 5 stars. Rod and Karen are hilarious. One of my favorite podcasts. Rod's raps are dope. LOL. Thank you. I'm assuming you're talking about the bubble raps and things of that nature.
That's all right.
The other ones are just us reading lyrics before the show starts. I love you, mwah. Jeff WB_NYC says, I gave the Blackout Test a listen a few years ago when Rod would call in the 12, but for whatever reason, I just couldn't get into it. Now I am binging over the past few weeks. I'm a listener for life. Thanks, Rod and Karen. You're wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I can definitely understand. We don't do the same show as 12, in my opinion. There's a lot more politics and news focused.
We joke about that stuff.
Yeah, and I think we all gravitate towards different stuff as you continue mm-hmm. to do this. Like, we're not doing the same show we were doing when we started. Neither is Twib, you know, which everybody, we still listen to and love, you know. But, I can definitely see how you could tune in and be like, well, this is totally different, because it is totally different.
Completely different. And same thing for people that come over from Bamani's show. They're like, this is different. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, totally understand. Smart, funny, and enlightening, loves to think and laugh, says, I look forward to these podcasts like no other. Rod and Karen talk about fluffy pop culture, serious news, and everything in between with humor, heart, and game show-like segments that will crack you up. They will call out all manner of BS found in our society these days, and it's really refreshing. I've learned a lot from these big-hearted, smart-ass folks and their occasional guests. Not suitable for work or hateful people. Long live the Blackout Tips. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate you. That about sums it up right there. That big hearted smart ass, no, that's about right. Although I would like I mess with a big ass smart hearted woman too. Now come on, you know what I'm saying? Make that in a sandwich, you know what I'm saying?
With some bacon on the side.
Mm-hmm. You Saved My Sanity by 80s Baby. I found this podcast right after I started a new job. While I love the job, it's extremely dead. I thought I was going to lose my mind. It's so quiet, I can hear the AC running all day. That is the worst. Boredom is like a prison in itself. Mm-hmm. This podcast prevented me from finding another job or just hiding in the bathroom all day to play Candy Crush. Y'all are witty, funny, and woke. Hands down, this is my top pick out of all the podcasts. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I listen to about 15 of them. I say this podcast just for work. Feel free to make the episode as long as you want. My premium membership is coming. We want to get through 40 hours a week in silence. We have to get through 40 hours a week in silence. Love y'all.
Yeah, for those of you that found us kind of later on, yeah, our shows used to be, 3 hours plus?
Sometimes, not all the time.
Not all the time.
It depends. When we were doing a couple times a week, they were longer.
It
can still get long when we do these. I mean, I think what happened is people's concept of what podcasting is has to grow, because it's a little weird. Like, for example, Bomani Jones, right? Bo's on the air 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 15 hours. Now, probably each hour about 20-25 minutes of that's commercials and news breaks and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But the point being, if you listen to him on the radio, you spent 3 hours doing something while listening to him on the radio.
Right.
Not all and then there's podcasts like, say, The Read or This American Life, mm-hmm. or, you know, like where they come out once a week. They give you about an hour, maybe a little longer, and then you'll see them next week. Mm-hmm. Which is also its format. Own format, right. You know, it's a lot of work that goes into doing those things.
Yes,
and
it is.
Restricting topics and all that stuff. I think what happened is people get introduced to certain podcasts first. So you get introduced to This American Life.
Yeah. A lot of NPR stuff for most people.
Yeah. How Did This Get Made? A lot of, you know, Mark Maron's podcast. A lot of like, okay, I spent 1 hour that week with this person. And you think, well, that's what a podcast is.
Right.
It's just the way our minds work. We are always constantly defining things and putting rules on it. And so people's mind is just like, oh yeah, the rule is you do this once a week for an hour. Anything else is just way too fucking much.
Right.
Which is fine, but we're not, I'm not trying to compete with Mark Maron and do Mark Maron. I'm not trying to do This American Life. I'm not trying to do The Read. We're not, like, we're basically have evolved into your 5 days a week, a couple hours a day, you know, depending, you know, we're flexible because it's our schedule. We can do what we want, but we've developed into that. And so the type of listener we get might be a little different. We might not get your casual, I only have an hour to listen to something every week. That person may not listen to us, or maybe they'll listen to one show or whatever. You know, they'll tune in when they like a guest. They'll tune in right. when there's some controversial topic they want to hear about or something. That's when they'll tune in. But for other people, you know, and I mean, honestly, for myself, like, this is the kind of podcast I wanted to listen to, you know. I still listen to Keith and the Girl, even though I don't have a desk job anymore, but I listen to Keith and the Girl. And like, when I see an episode that's over an hour, I'm like, fine, yes, like, let's go. You know,
I see something over an hour, I was like, shit must have been flames, I don't know what they talked about, but if they go over an hour, you're like, woo, something must have happened.
Yeah, the main thing for me is I just hope that our show is entertaining for however long the show is. The conversation might only be an hour and some change. It might be less than an hour, might be 2 hours, might be 3 hours, but I just hope it's worthwhile. Like, I would never want to do a boring show or a show just for a show's sake, like out of obligation. So those are the only things I really care about. But I do think about people with 40-hour jobs and 2 and 3 hour commutes and things of this nature. Those are the people that listen to us and love us, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily, we're not gonna catch everybody, you know. I think that's a formula to a lot of podcasts. There's a lot of people that think, well, I'll make a short show, everyone has time for a short show. Maybe, or they might not want to listen to your short show.
Yeah,
they might just, you know, maybe they want more, but then they go somewhere else and find more. It's just always a different avenue, and I wish more people would approach podcasting with this idea that there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just either entertaining or it's not, and people either listen or they don't. And in our case, we've been very fortunate that a lot of people listen to our show.
Yeah, and like I said, I know for me, working 40 hours a week, I like long shows. Like, I see some podcasts, and they might come out once a week, but I see they're, like, pushing, like, a four-hour mark. I was like, shit, that's half my day. Fuck yeah. Right. You know, but, you know, for some other people, they're like, that's too long. But like I said, for me, I sit at my desk for very extensive periods of time. Right. You know, for people that have long commutes back and forth to work and things like that. And there's some short shows I love. For some short shows, I can't get into because I don't want to queue up 15 episodes. I'd rather listen to a few of them, but that just happened to be longer. But that's just my personal preference.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and get into the comments on the website. We appreciate everybody that takes time out to leave the comments because that's how we get to hear what you guys think about what we talked about. Episode 1250, White News Palette Cleanser, is the last feedback show that we got to do, which was all the way in like July 23rd, so it's been a while.
We're in August now.
Got a couple comments. Busty Wallace says, love this 2 hour feedback episode. Thanks for the come out info. Hey, enjoy.
I like that.
I really enjoy that album. Flo Girl says, the comment from Brandon, Ohio was hilarious. Like me saying, save the rainforest doesn't mean fuck the rest of the forest. So true, and a good comeback for those that try to all lives matter us. Yep, that's true. It's honestly, man, a lot of people have found, like, analogies and stuff to explain why all lives matter is some bullshit. I just think people willfully do it and they don't care.
Right. So I'm not wasting my time arguing with you. I'm not wasting my time debating with you. I'm not wasting, me personally, I'm not wasting my time talking to you. We're not going to have the conversation because I'm already to the point where it's just too much information around. You just don't care.
Right. So hold on, someone's on my Twitter tripping right now. All right, so we also had a poll for the episode. The poll was, do you have any moving nightmare stories? Yes, let me tell you about it. Or no, my moves go smooth. It was 50-50.
What?
So, I mean, which is actually kind of sad, really. 50-50 meaning, you know, 50-50 chance of your move gonna go good. Like, that's one of the reasons I think it's so stressful for people. Mm-hmm. And it eats away at folks because of that.
People delay it as long as they possibly can.
Right. Do you have any moving nightmare stories? So, yeah, Janica writes in, so at the college, I was moving to Nashville. I lived about an hour away. I was broke as hell. I didn't have any money for a moving company, so it was just me and my brother-in-law. So we loaded everything on the back of our trucks. It was blue skies, but I asked him, should we put plastic over this? It's supposed to rain. He says, no, we'll beat the rain. Well, we get one exit away from my new apartment, and it just starts pouring all of a sudden. Sun's still shining and all. Full on pouring. It was bad. I couldn't see the lines in the road. My shit was ruined.
Oh sweetie.
Oh, that's gotta suck.
Yeah, when you gotta think like that, be like, fuck it. It's just, you know, I'd rather the sun burn the covering than my shit get destroyed. Cause now all your shit gotta be replaced.
Yeah, that's why people pay that money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why people pay that extra to get a mover and all that stuff.
Cause y'all, we ain't professionals. Let's just keep that real. Right. We ain't professionals. You put it on shit, stuff ain't bolted down right, stuff ain't strapped down, stuff ain't stored right, stuff shift, stuff break, you know, and you ain't got insurance on that. Who you gonna go to when you break your own shit?
It's not, and the thing is, it's not until it goes wrong that you have that moment where you're like, I knew it. Like, I should have just went ahead and got it professionally done. And then it sucks too to even have to feel that way, because you can't even tell nobody about it, because everybody becomes Captain Obvious with the, well, you should have hired some movers, or you know what I mean?
Like, no shit.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, that's kind of my point. Thanks for, you know, the coming in behind and letting me know the obvious thing that everybody has pointed out to.
Right.
So, but yeah. So, let's see. We had episode 1251, Cakes and Mouth. And that was the one before we really went on break. Jackie says, Rod and Karen, y'all got me cracking up this whole episode, even though most of it was really serious. I was born and raised in Cleveland, and the fact that they decided to do the RNC here pissed me and the whole city off. The majority of people that live in the city decided not to go down there while it was going on, because nobody's a damn Republican. Unless you got all the people who went down there today. And as far as the male sex workers go, it doesn't surprise me that Republicans are some of the biggest hypocrites. Oh, and by the way, I'll take mouth any day, y'all. I'm bi, so it's equal opportunity over here.
Ah!
Hey, I hear you. You know what's funny is, like, the ability to disassociate, because like they had a lot of rhetoric that said, we're gonna start accepting LGBT people over here. We're gonna, you know, that one guy gets up, he's like, I'm not a gay person first. I'm not this. I'm not a Republican. I'm an American. And it's like, yeah, but policy wise, what, look at the horrible things your people are spreading. Like, why, you're gonna have to call them to task for that, you know, like.
And hold them accountable.
Yeah, like, as fucked up as the Democratic Party is, there's been protests, there's been dissent, people have pushed Obama, people have pushed Hillary Clinton, and other people in the Democratic Party towards marriage equality and toward, like, they pushed them because there's always been this dissent. It seems like this dissent on the right is just silenced.
Yeah.
Like, it's just nothing to it. You know, like, oh, that's it. You know, you do that and, you know, you bring this up and now it's a problem. You're a bad, like, why you gotta be bringing up other shit? Don't you know we talking about this? We talking about these other laws, and here you go bringing up this gay shit. Like, yeah, it's all this,
but
you know.
This affect me, and y'all passing rules against my well-being and against me as a human being. And go, fuck that.
It's honestly like they think every person over there is just a straight white man, and that's it.
Right.
And nobody else
exists.
And yeah, and if you do vote, you should be voting for straight white male people.
Right.
Know?
Even if you're not, that's who you need to be voting for.
Ann says, I'm so old, I had to look up what cakes and mouth meant. The blackout tips keeping us young. Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing how the sudden acceptance of LGBTQ people at the convention plays out in the rest of the country. Yeah, you know, that's the other part about lip service. The people that are bigots and that vote for Trump, that support people like Pat McCrory and shit, they don't care.
Right.
They honestly just go, yeah, it's lip service. He'll say anything, and that's why we like him. Like, he's not going to actually change anything.
Nope.
The discrimination will continue. Yes, and sir. I feel perfectly fine supporting him, because what I do know is if someone like Hillary Clinton gets in, then whatever the positive stuff for LGBT people will continue, and we don't want or stay stagnant where it is, which is also kind of bad. But mm-hmm. But the point being, they don't want that. They want it dialed back, you know.
Right.
Every executive order, they want that shit gone, you know. I know many people who claim socially conservative values as the main reason they support the GOP. My guess is that they will change their tune quickly. Anything for a win is the GOP's real motto. I agree. Yeah, they'll say anything. And then the poll was cakes or mouth. Like, which one would you take? What's better? And cakes won 58% to mouth 42%. So there you guys
go. They have yams in there?
So they did not. We did not have yams on the poll. You know, it wasn't. I don't think yams was an option.
Okay.
That people could really get into. So
yeah, I'm old too, baby. Whoever wrote that letter, because I had recently learned what yams was through Twitter. Because everybody said, them yams. I was like, y'all, what is we talking about? We talking about sweet potato yams? Yams? What? Food? And then I realized it was something else.
Yeah. All right, we had episode 1252, Jafakin, Miss Cleo gone. No comments. We got the poll. The poll was police being killed in the line of duty. It's sad. Don't care. And yay. 1% picked yay.
Oh.
So there's some people like cops killing good. Don't care. 8.2% of people don't care. And 90% of people still feel like, yo, it's sad that, yes, that it when is. It happens. And I think that came up because I like everyone's so at odds. Like, I'm watching, you know, Facebook and Twitter, and people are so adversarial with each other and all this stuff at this point, and people are so passionate about what they believe. And I really think white supremacy and all this shit just kind of fucks with everybody.
Yes, sir.
So a lot of our reactions are from years of being like calloused at this point and being abused and picked over and all this stuff. So we don't have, like, we have anger and aggressiveness that we respond with. And it, so you have people that feel this way. And then when it comes to like a cop being killed or something, people do feel like, well, you just did your job. So why should I be sad? Because they've had so many people tell them that when a black person dies or that, they no one should be sad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a tit for tat thing when, you know, I'm trying not to let it get to that point because I don't want to be that broken. Like, you know, and I'm not saying that in judgment of anybody else. Do as you please, obviously. Right. But, you know, I don't want to be broken that way. I personally want to hold on to that part of me that is still saddened by the loss of any life that was taken in violence and unnecessarily, you know.
Yes, sir.
We had episode 1253, Chuck and Jive. KRW says not just no but hell no. And I'm assuming they're talking about the poll. Okay, all right, so I guess we have to read the poll before we can read this comment, because they left a comment on but yeah, okay, so the poll was, will you be watching Charles Barkley's race card? Yes or no? 5.7% say yes. 94% say they would not be watching. You know what? My intention is not to watch it.
Yeah, shit,
to be honest.
I'm going to hear about it, but I'm definitely not going to watch it, because you're going to hear about it, because people are going to tune in. It's going to be all down your Facebook feed, all down your timeline, because some people just... My personal opinion, some people love to torture themselves, if that makes sense. Like for real, I feel like with Don Lemon, Stacey Dash, like some of these other people, I don't hear about the shit until it hits my timeline, because I don't go looking for it. I don't watch it because I know they're trolling me. I refuse to go through that emotional roller coaster for no fucking reason.
I personally don't want to go through it, and it is one of those moments where you look at it and you have to be like, do I talk about this thing on Twitter and watch it and kind of admonish it? Because I mean, that's a tactic too, and
right,
there's nothing wrong with that. People do that with Don Lemon and stuff, and sometimes it works. Sometimes people come around, people are like, okay, I'm tired of getting fucking roasted every day, I do look stupid, let me stop some of these antics. And then sometimes when it's people like Charles Barkley, they can't be reached, but maybe you can shame TNT or something like that, you never know. Anyway, KRW says, not just no, but hell no. The name alone tells you this isn't going to be treated as a serious issue. My hope is that it gets canceled after one episode, but I suspect enough people will tune in to watch Barkley saying problematic, uninformed shit to keep it going for at least a few episodes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's kind of like...
even a full season.
Yeah, it's like a whole genre now of entertainment where you just give somebody a fucked up, you know, a platform. You give a fucked up person a platform, and it's just like, watch the magic of social media and Twitter and negative press do the work for you. Cause it's like, oh, it's the Stacey Dash on race show. And you right. know,
because the thing is, at the end of the day, is black people's pain is a form of entertainment, and people make money off of our pain. And that's what it boils down to. And they don't care who does it. They don't care if a white person does it, and if a black person does it, Asian, they don't care. Black people's pain, they realize, gets the clicks, get people talking, get people interacting, get the anger, get that roller coaster moving, get those needles bumping. And so they don't care. They have no moral compass, and they don't have any obligation to care about our pain.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, y'all, if I'm a little distracted, it's because my Twitter is just being ridiculous all week, man. Matter of fact, I'm just gonna talk about it. Like, so, you know, we had that fan of the show, and I'm not gonna say his name because his mom basically kind of asked me to on Facebook to, like, because I had to put up this post, and the post was basically screenshots of things he had said about us on the show, lies he had made up, and pictures that people, you know, people have been harassed, direct messages he had sent people, private messages he had sent people. He had a friend of the show, a couple friends of the show, make their accounts private because they felt so harassed by this person. And so in an effort to kind of get the word out so that people can know, like, yo, this dude is a creep, essentially. Like, and I tried to be a gentleman about it where, you know, it was kind of like, okay, I understand that maybe you just feel like it's a misunderstanding. And that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's happened to me before where I'm just like, well, it seems like a misunderstanding. But when it's a misunderstanding to me, I tap out. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. You feel a certain way. I can't change your opinion of me. I can't change your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Mm-hmm. But then this dude starts, you know, going around and like lying on our show, lying on me, saying I made our Facebook group a place where black women are getting harassed. Just like, you know, just completely unfounded bullshit, man. And it's been really disheartening to see, you know. And people are saying like he has some issues, and his mother was saying he has some issues, like health wise and mentally wise and stuff. And she's like, I promise he's going to get off of social media, and he's a younger guy, and he's about to go to college, and, you know, I don't want people to, she didn't want people to find his name and be like, oh, you about to go to college, but here you are on Twitter saying this, here you are, you know, people are saying you're harassing him and stuff, to which, you know, it's hard to feel sympathy for somebody that does shit like this, because... Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. I know these people that you've, you know, at minimum annoyed, but at worst, you know, harassed. I can't think of another way to put it, you know. So basically put them on blast. And then what's funny is, like, he goes on Twitter and starts trying to link up with anybody that's ever had something bad to say about me, which, you know, it doesn't take much for people to just not vet anything. So he would go find people, which is funny. It's like he almost kept a dossier of everyone who's ever had an issue with me, which is, you know, some odd shit to do. But so he went and he immediately finds like a few people that, and only one or two of them really bite. And one of the people that bit on this is this dude that I won't say his name on the show. Same thing. I'm not really trying to have this person be harassed. I'm not really trying to, you know, I understand my platform is bigger than, you know, whatever they're got going on. And this person will definitely cry foul and be like, I was victimized, no matter how much shit they've been talking about me over the last year. But there's this dude that we kind of had a disagreement. He was cool for a long time, seemed to think I was cool. I don't know what that, you know, maybe there's like animosity that's already been there. You know, I understand, you know, he's LGBTQ, like on the spectrum somewhere. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of animosity between straight black men and everybody else because, you know, straight black men, we problematic. Like we do a lot of fucked up shit. We're not always informed. We're not always, empathetic. We don't always know what the fuck we're talking about. Like it's like completely understood, you know, not to mention, you know, the people that are straight up like fuck this person and take it personal and all this shit. So I understand, like, there's been interactions. I'm sure they've been negative on a large part. And someone like me, already by the nature of being a straight black dude who to a lot of people looks like their abuser, you know what I mean? Like it's not much difference between me and some other nigga that is calling you some slurs or dismissing your opinion or telling you I just don't agree with your lifestyle and shit like that. So I'm already dealing with that on one hand in the middle of this discussion, which is totally reasonable. I think that's what happens to a lot of people. Like it's how some black people are like, this white person fucked up, fuck them forever, I'm gonna remember this time you fucked up forever. So this other dude hops in and he's like co-signing everything this guy's saying, which is fucked up because the guy's a fucking stalker who, you know, stalked black women, made black women like make their pages private and blocked him on social media and all this stuff. And then he hid behind this idea of like, well, I have some disability, so, you know, it's really about, you know, it's really more about me. And if you say anything about stopping his harassment, then he goes to like, I'll think about suicide sometimes and stuff like that. Like it's just a whole mess of issues that I personally am not equipped to deal with as a fucking podcaster. I'm not, you know, I'm nobody's professional, you know, mental health person. I'm just a guy. So, propping this dude up kind of brought this other dude back into my spectrum because all of a sudden there's people in my mentions like, hey, did you see this, did you see that? And I blocked this person over a year ago after this conversation. I've made sure not to mention them or their name because I understand how shit goes, and anything else I say or do about it is going to be considered harassment from this person,
right?
Like some people are, it's like it's a hopeless thing. Like you're not gonna be able to be liked by everyone and you're not gonna be able to like resolve everything. I would like to resolve it, but at the same time I already can see the writing on the wall. If I reach out to this person, it's gonna be like, you're harassing me more, I don't want to talk to you. You're legitimizing what I'm saying about you. So I'm just like, cool, hate me in your space, you know, tell everybody in the world you don't fuck with me. And the people that believe you will, you know. Now the discussion we had at the time was, and I think we even talked about it on the show also without mentioning his name because I prefer not to try to dredge that shit up, but at the time the conversation was, there was an article that was written that basically said Black Lives Matter does not care about LGBTQ people, you know. And to me, I felt like the article was being a bit dismissive of like kind of the leadership of the time. Now, at the same time, over the last, I don't know, year and some change since it's happened, I've learned a lot more about Black Lives Matter and the Black Liberation Movement and Black protests and how it's not all the same and how your leadership, quote unquote, isn't really your leadership, you know, like DeRay is not really a leader in this, in specifically in that organization, while he may be a leader in this movement. Netta's not necessarily a leader in this organization, but she's still a person that you would, that is visible, that we would know of. So to that extent, it's like, okay, so as with everybody, we're always learning. I go back, I look at that conversation, even like recently went back and looked at our initial like argument and was like, okay, I see where the misunderstanding occurred. Cause to me, it was, you're saying that these people that are in charge literally would not march for anyone that wasn't straight, like a straight, black man or woman, right? To which my belief is, and still to this day, my belief is that those organizations and those people do care, and those people would march for those people. Now that being said, and I actually agree with him on this, I don't know that the people show up to march the way for that, and I don't know that that's the leadership's fault. Mm-mm. And the article that was put out was basically blaming like the leadership and kind of comparing it to like, no matter who is killed by who, it doesn't matter, you should show up and march. So even if the person was trans and they were killed by, you know, another person in the community, Black Lives Matter is supposed to show up and march for that. And so I'm like, okay, I'm trying to understand what's the line then, because some people use that same argument, but they use it to say, well, what about black on black crime? Why doesn't Black Lives Matter show up when a black person is killed by another black person? You know, why don't they show up for this, that, and the other? And it's like, because they're actually against state sanctioned killings of black people. Like, if the police are doing it, then it's time to march and speak out and hashtag and all that stuff. So, but clearly it was a clear misunderstanding. But since then, you know, it's been Raj dismissive of the LGBTQ people. He put me on some, you know, some list with these other people of like, these people all are, you know, homophobic and all this shit. He's y'all's favorite and all that. Like, I'm now one of the faves on Twitter, apparently. I'm now like, I don't know. And the thing is, you can't control the narrative. You can't control everybody. And when people can't control you, they definitely try to control the narrative. But mm-hmm. I can't like reconcile that. And I'm not able to disprove a negative. So if people really think I'm a person that just dismisses people who are LGBTQ and they have an opinion, I'm just like, fuck your opinion. It was different from mine. You can go. Then people will feel that way. Like, I honestly can't change anything like that. It's kind of like that thing where you go, this person's racist, and they go, but I have black friends. That doesn't prove shit. And there's no way to unprove this kind of shit. So I'm okay with this idea that this person's not going to like me, and they're going to spread shit about me, and they're going to, you know, basically take things completely in the context that they want to take them. That's absolutely fine. But it's whack to me that somebody reached out to this person. They, and then this person propped the other dude back up, the fan, you know, where it's like, so now you helping this fucking harasser get a more bigger platform and seem validated in just literal lies. He's literally lying. And then this other, you know, like this thing where this person is saying, I have like a track record of doing this and whatnot. It's just so disheartening, because literally I would not do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so, it's disheartening. I'll put it that way. And it's weird, because even though I had this person blocked, even though this person has me blocked, even though I don't talk about this person directly, even though we don't tag each other, people will come in because they see you talking about us. We're both very visible on this platform. And they go, well, you're talking about this person, I'm going to ask them. And so now I end up, you know, getting tagged in these conversations where I'm literally trying to avoid this person because I know that they're going to take it into, this is another level of abuse and nobody believes me and I'm telling you he's abusive. And if a person thinks that, I can't change that. And I don't want to be anybody's abuser. I don't want to try to silence anybody. Like, that's why I'm not even fucking arguing with them. I'm not seeking them out. I'm not emailing them. I'm not trying to contact them. But it does bother me, you know. Like I was in a car last night and I was thinking about emailing this person because I was like, clearly, like at one point we were cool. We had one, in my opinion, misunderstanding, because honestly, I would not argue with them that a lot of people don't give a fuck when it's not a straight black person. I've said it on the show before. A lot of people don't care when it's not a straight black man. It's very hard to hashtag a quote unquote not perfect victim, because a lot of people define perfection by being straight, mm-hmm. being male, mm-hmm. not being black, like a whole lot of shit, you know, not being violent, not being a past criminal. Like they count some things in there that are just completely fucked up. Like, right. I don't know why your sexual orientation would even come into play for whether or not the police should kill you, but we got these hotep type dudes, we got certain people in these in the black demographic that are like, well, I ain't marching for this person. I'm not gonna follow behind DeRay, he's gay, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's that, you have this type of mentality out there. I'm not a purveyor of that. I push back on that when I see that, but I won't deny that the problem exists. So it's kind of, you know, and I remember in that conversation, I actually linked to another article that kind of said the same thing, but it was more like, it's people's fault, black people's fault, that don't get up there and march for those names. Like, it's not the leadership, it's not the organization, because if you organize a march but nobody comes, is that your fault?
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was just kind of that thing. And I still have a fundamental belief that the people in charge of the organization of BLM and the black protesters that I know, you know, via Twitter and social media like everybody else, I really do believe that if somebody of the LGBTQ spectrum gets killed by the police, they're going to hashtag, they're going to be like, we should march. That's my personal belief. Now, that may be where we disagree, and that person may feel dismissed by that disagreement, and I can't help that I believe that. Like, it's absolutely fine that this person doesn't. I'm okay with disagreeing on that. This is something I can actually be proven wrong on. Like, if you know, somebody gets killed and there is there's a refusal to, you know, say their name and to discuss them and all that stuff, because they happen to be LGBTQ, I'm completely willing to say, well, I was wrong. I really believed in these people and thought that they would organize regardless. I didn't think it would be a litmus test to organizing, you know, and hopefully one day we can live in a world where it's not, if that is the case. But, you know, it bothers me because as far as I'm concerned, this person's lying on me. You know what I mean? Like, and this is part of visibility, is you get to a certain level and it's like people have so much animosity that when they see you, it just brings up another rant. And it's until everybody believes me, until everybody sees, you know, and they poke you and needle you. And I feel like the point is kind of almost like, y'all gonna see that he's a fraud. If I get him mad enough, if I get him to say something stupid enough, if he just steps out of character long enough. And it's like, I'm not playing a character. Like, I never worry about quote unquote saying the wrong thing, cause I'm being me. Like, right. This isn't an act. And I'm not going through a checklist, and when I say something fucked up or I say something problematic, that's also me too. So I can learn from those things. The other thing that's really weird is, let's say that I really was being like completely dismissive, and that's who I am. You LGBTQ, I ain't gotta listen to what you got to say, fuck that. Let's say that's who I am. It's been over a year. I could have learned to improve. I may be a different person. Like, there's no room. And it's like, people want to leave you stuck in this area. Like, will you make a mistake or something like that? I'm a person that already mentally gets stuck in these areas. When I have not even just a mistake, a misunderstanding, I will live there in my head forever. I still remember this conversation I had with this person verbatim. Like, I remember pretty much every tweet. Sometimes I'll go back on Twitter search the use the search function and be like, okay, so then he said this, then I said that, then I don't see why this is a problem, but okay, then he said it was like this, but I definitely didn't mean it this way, but then he said he took it that way. I literally remember those things. But at the same time, once the bridge is burned, once the damage is done, you have to live there. And it really feels like this shit is gonna keep coming up forever, mm-hmm. with this one specific person, because that's all they think of me and that's all they want people to think of me, right. Regardless of anything else I do, regardless of anything else I've ever said, mm-hmm. regardless of my actions, regardless of my heart, any of that shit. The point is to leave me stuck there. And it's something I've had to learn to accept this year, this week, really, of this idea that some people are just, they're gonna get more attention from lying on you than they would get from coming clean or reconciling with you or letting the shit go. You know, it's just a different mentality. I'm more of a let shit go type of person where, we have people on the show that I'm friends of and I'm friends with, but then they'll say certain shit where I'm like, I don't agree with that. We might have it out, but at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, that's still your opinion. That's still your right. I don't fuck with you on that. Like, and you'll, at any time it comes up between me and you, as friends, I'll never not say something because I'm your friend and I do feel like it's my responsibility. I can't dictate your opinion, but it's definitely my responsibility to give the other perspective when I think you're wrong. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? Because people, I think Twitter and social media has enabled us to give up on people immediately. Like, mm-hmm. block, unfollow, mute, whatever. And it's kind of weird to see... To see like almost how celebrities get treated by people, but from just some random person to me, like it's just so yeah, it's disturbing. Like when I saw somebody tweeting me and this person in the same tweet just now, it was like I had a little bit of a panic attack. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I literally am not talking about this person. Like, honestly, and I know they're talking shit about me. I know what's been going on. People keep telling me. People keep sending me pictures and shit and screenshots. I don't need to know. Like, it's really, I understand that is an irreconcilable difference. It'll never ever, they're never giving me a second chance, and I'm never gonna ask for it because I understand that they're angry. Like, I respect their anger. I respect that they disagree with me. I respect that they think I'm just a very problematic person. I feel like that's as good as it's gonna get. So, you know, if you see it, you don't got to tag me in it. And the same thing with the other dude. Like, don't even worry about sending me. The only thing I care about with the other dude is that he was harassing black women and that were in our group. And he's lying on the show and shit like that. But honestly, I hope he gets the help that his mom was talking about him getting, period. That's it. Like, I hope that person is fine eventually as well. I don't harbor this animosity, and hating me is going to be a waste of time. Like, I'm having a good life. I'm having a good time. I'm trying to stay positive. I'm trying not to let all these things that we talk about on a daily basis bother me the same way you are. You know, I'm still just an average dude like every fucking body else. So, all that to say, like, yeah, it does get to you. It does bother you. It does, you know, the trolling and all this shit and the lies and shit and the, you know, refusal to even attempt to view it another way and all this shit, it definitely gets to you. It gets to me. I can't say it gets to you. I don't know what it gets to other people, but it definitely gets to me. But if you're hearing a little bit of like distraction in my voice right now, that's what it's from. It's just getting this update and being like, yo, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, not only is this person, because people are messy, it's like when people see someone talking about you, they're gonna tag you to it. They're gonna want you to be notified. They're gonna want to see a fight on the timeline. That's what they really want. And the same way I treated the Firestarter shit is the same way I'm treating this. I'm not trying to fight this person. They don't like me. It's cool. You know what I mean? They have a version of events that they feel happen. I look at the same tweets and feel like it was a completely different misunderstanding. Either way, I'm letting it go because it's been over a fucking year. Like, who stays mad that goddamn long? But then more importantly, who thinks that the other person wouldn't have changed? Who over a year, a fucking year, like, and then, like I said, people, because with this particular person, you guys can search the tweets, right? Y'all do know you can go back and look at exactly what the exchange was and see for yourselves. Like, that's what I tell everybody to do. Whenever they come to me with this shit, I'm just like, go search the tweets. Because you can see for yourself, and I can guarantee people can see exactly where the disconnect happened. When I was like, well, what about this different article where they don't say it's the leadership's fault, but it's black people's fault, and black people are homophobic, and black people are sexist, and black people are a bunch of shit, where they get information for, oh, a black dude got killed, you know, and we don't investigate those people, you know. Alton Sterling gets to be a statutory rapist that we still put in a hashtag and we still march behind. Sandra Bland gets to have homophobic videos on YouTube, and it's still gonna be say her name. Like, it's not necessarily the same scrutiny applied to these people. And you're right, if somebody is LGBTQ and it's time to march, I have a feeling a lot of people that feel very comfortable promoting other people's names and stuff will not. They simply will not. They'll be like, I do not fuck with gay people, period. There's people that say they are pro-black, but they would not, they don't want to be involved with a movement that has DeRay in it, or LGBTQ people at the helm, like the Black Lives Matter organization. There are people like that, you know what I mean? And that's fine. Those people are fucking a problem, and I talk shit about them, and I will confront them at every turn too. But yeah, if I'm the enemy to this person, I understand, and I get that they're not gonna let it go. But please, y'all stop tagging me in this shit. Like, honestly, it's one of those things where nothing positive is gonna come of it. And once you get to that point, I don't think there's anything that can be done. You know, cause no, this person's not trying to hear me. I'm sure they don't listen to our show. I'm sure they don't give a fuck about what I talk about. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? I'm the enemy. I'm a cishet black man. That as far as this person is concerned, my love for black women does not spread to LGBTQ people. It doesn't go beyond that. And I'm not asking anyone to harass this person. That's why I'm not saying their name. Don't at them. You don't have to tell them we talked about, like, don't do all that shit, because it's not really worth it. They'll never see me as anything other than an abuser as far as that person's concerned. So I'm saying for you, don't worry about it. Don't fight on my behalf. You don't have to dispute it, because it's gonna become, well, you're denying my reality, you're denying the abuse I experienced that this person did. It's gonna become all of that for them, and you'll be part of the problem. So don't be part of the problem, you know. And I'm just gonna leave it at that, because, and I feel like I have to talk about it, because it bothered the fuck out of me. It's been going on for over a year now, and seeing this other dude that we do know was harassing women, that, you know, we put the Facebook post on and shit, to see him run to this person knowing that he would get that co-signed regardless of being wrong, regardless of being abusive and harassing in these direct messages and shit, seeing that was really disappointing. But when people don't like you, they see what they want to see anyway. So it was, you know, it's not for me to be able to prove or disprove this person. All I can do is continue trying to make the best show I can make, trying to make the show fun, but also being inclusive, trying to speak out for what's right and what's wrong on our show and on our airwaves. And that's what I can control, and that's what I do. The rest of it is always going to be somebody that don't fuck with you, and that's just the lesson I've kind of gotten from this. And I remember it was this quote I looked up, and I can't even remember who it was by, but it was like talking about liars, and it was like, the main problem with people that lie is not that people don't believe them, it's that they can't believe anybody. And that's it. Like, you can't believe that I'm not the person you say I am, you know. And it's not the problem that people don't believe you. I mean, people don't believe people that tell the truth. I mean, that's not, you know, like, belief is, and trust and all, that's a very fleeting concept anyway. But this idea of believing, being able to believe in somebody else, that's the part you've been robbed of. So, it's cool if you can't believe in me. I'm not a saint either, but this idea that I'm just sitting around like hiding my problematic, you know, secret I hate gay people side. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck. You'll be waiting a long time for to see me run out here trying to actively cause problems or dismiss people or whatever for being LGBTQ, because I'm not gonna do it. All right. So anyway, let's get into these concepts. Let's get into the rest of these comments. Episode 1254, Bro Taps. We had a lot of comments on this.
I think a lot of people enjoyed that.
Yeah, we got a lot of comments on social media and stuff. It was fun. So let's see. We had Forrest wrote in and said, "It's insane that the textbook uses Cubans as an example of Latino respectability. First, Cubans tend to be solid Republican voting bloc. Further, their relationship with America is completely different. Like Puerto Ricans, they don't have to deal with undocumented status. So, of course, assimilation is far easier than it is for other Latinos. It doesn't surprise me, though. Remember, Texas is the same place where textbooks that were released that called slaves migrant workers." Okay, so yeah, this is about that book where they were calling Latino people lazy and saying that there was a movement where they were labeling it as like these are just people that didn't understand America and work ethic and they don't want to get along. And yeah, they were basically skipping over every other issue that would cause problems between Latino people, brown people, and basically assimilating into America. And they turned it into, well, these are all the shortcomings of these brown people, nothing to do with America, nothing to see here. Prof Corey responded to this comment and said, "I grew up in Texas. It took me until after graduate school, when I was already a professor, to realize that I needed to unlearn my mandatory Texas history class. It really drives home how deliberately white domination must be reinforced. They don't leave anything to chance. More than 50% of their children are Mexican American. Let's make sure they never have a chance to see themselves without this distorting lens." Infuriating.
Right, because the most frightening thing for a group of people, particularly a brown group of people, is a educated group of brown people. That causes fear, because a lot of times those are the people that can make the change,
especially if they're not educated in what you want them to know.
Right,
like, oh yeah, I want you to know slavery was a paragraph, you know, but I don't want you to know the history of it or the brutality of it. And hey, slaves were well fed at the White House, so let's move on, you know. Desiree says, "I'm completely with you, Prof. I've been in Texas all my life and never thought of questioning my education when it comes to history. I moved to Austin when I was 19 and suddenly heard friends making remarks about the bullshit that we were taught. After a little self-education, I realized my entire view of American history was severely skewed. I'm now a mother of three with my oldest entering third grade this year. My husband and I have actually made a game plan concerning contacting our local elementary school to preview his forthcoming books. It's absolutely ridiculous that two taxpaying non-educators are charged with fact-checking our local public school to make sure they give our children a proper and accurate education. I fucking hate my state."
Right, because the people that normally, for a lot of states, that normally reread this shit and get them to redo it, they go, "Nah, y'all can't be here. You got a degree in this? Nope."
Yep. Prof Corey also says, "I'm sure I'm not the only person who immediately thought of Will Smith's framing of the issues in November 2015. I guess this was before he and Jada decided to talk about boycotting the Oscars. Maybe the constant killing of black people hit him harder sooner. Anyway, he put the issue this way in November 2015. And I have to say, I live with constant prejudice, but racism is rare. Someone who thinks that their race is superior." That, oh yeah, I remember we covered that on the show too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also, via the lens of whiteness, a lot of people don't feel comfortable saying racism is racism.
Right.
They prefer to say prejudice, because it sort of takes the sting off for a lot of people, because they feel like, well, anyone could be prejudiced. You know, hey, it's prejudice just to think somebody of a certain size can't do this, you know, like that. Like, it's prejudice to think black people are good at basketball. And you're like, yeah, but this is different. Like, if your prejudice is informed by racism, it's still racism. The result is still racism. Tony says Karen's gasp when the bro-tep said that women should vote was my exact response to, but only after it hit me that they were so serious. And the endorsement of Fatal Attraction, just so damn perfect. Some of these episodes have some unpredictable twists that are too good. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank my mom for that Fatal Attraction, dog. That's my show. Also, Criminals at Work. Check that out. Comes on every Friday, Central. I just watched one today.
Are we watching For Your Man? I think we seen For Your Man, didn't
we? Yeah, I've seen For Your Man. Yeah, I'm watching all of them. Would you sign up to get stuff from the reparations website? Somebody's creating a website for people to basically give black people the hookup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for past stuff, so it's not like, oh, here's $1 million because your granddaddy was a slave.
Yeah, a mule.
It's stuff like, you want 2 tickets to the game? I got you. And 62% of our audience said yes, they would sign up. 24 said no, they would not sign up. And 15% of y'all aren't black, so you didn't vote in the poll that way. Good. I appreciate y'all using that option. I was worried that a lot of y'all would not use the, that option. So, yeah. Also, last episode, 1255, same as the old Pope, where we basically reached the conclusion that the new Pope was transphobic, because he said that it was something like abomination to God or something. Everybody's always been propping him up as so different, the transformer, the redeemer, the this, and it's like, or the guy who reads the same book and is been through all the same training and in the same political circles as every other Pope, and yeah, at the end of the day, he's not about to change shit. At any rate, Max says, if the North Carolina government agrees that businesses should not be able to refuse service to certain customers, how does he not believe that some entertainers that choose not to provide services to those places? Seems like the same right to me. Love the show.
Right.
Yeah, that is true. Pat McCrory was like, these people need to stop politicizing the music. It's like, well, you politicized the motherfucking bathroom. Like, how about you bring the bathrooms back and then maybe a Sting will come through? You know, you use your power to politicize your religious agenda. And there's people that, you know, are deciding to boycott and make statements about how fucked up that is. And now you just want them to shut up.
Right. Cause you want to be allowed to be a bigot and still have them come in, spend their money, spend their dollars, have their crew here, you know, the people associated with them here and go, oh, everything's okay. Cause we love you. And he's like, nope, fuck you.
Is a new Pope making a difference on LGBTQ rights? Yes. 17% of people say yes. So he still got some people that feel like, you know, his less, I don't even know what word to call it, less harsh tone than other popes is still helping them some ways. And 83% of people are kind of like me. I don't think it's helping. It's like, it's one thing to say something, but it's another thing.
Actions.
Yeah. So, and lastly, we had a voicemail. We just had the one. Let me see if I can play that. Came in during the show. So
hi, Karen and Rod. It's Shana calling from Jacksonville, Florida. Just wanted to say great shows this week. And I just really appreciate what you guys do and the way you tackle topics. It's done with such a 360 finger on the pulse, and it's hard to articulate, but it's just so rich. It's just so hard to find these days, and I just really appreciate it. And I know a lot of us have jobs that, you know, we don't love, but I can just think of something funny Karen said on the show weeks ago, and it'll bring a smile to my face and just put me in a great mood. So just want to thank you guys again for that. And I do want to make a comment about, I believe you discussed it in the Broteps episode of Making a Murderer getting a second season. And I just think it's kind of tragic that it's getting another season. I watched the first one and I would have loved to been a fly on the wall in President Obama's office when he seeing that 500,000 people, I believe, signed a petition to get this man pardoned. And it's just sad. I mean, Stephen Avery, he's a piece of shit. And I think it was this petition, it was kind of an embarrassing moment for white liberals, I think. It's just, it's really embarrassing that this much, this series came to be what it is. And it's just sad. And I just wish that, you know, a young boy named George Stinney Jr. was wrongfully executed. He was 14, and he still has family members that are alive today. You know, give them a big platform to speak on. There's so many stories of people wrongfully in prison, black people wrongfully in prison, and ones that have been executed. So let's give one of those people a big platform, a big story. You know, that would be just so amazing. All right, so I'll end it now. Again, I'm looking forward to this week and any future shows you guys put out. Love you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Shayna.
Thank you, sweetie.
And yeah, it was kind of tragic to me. I feel like, but like, that's the world of TV too, is like what's marketable. I think they spent 10 years doing like recording footage and stuff to do season one of Making a Murder. And I don't know how they're going to do season two and like a year and a half after that. It's just, and it is interesting because there are so many people that deserve these resources, so many people that are incarcerated, you know, either illegally or they're incarcerated. Like, you know, like the fact that there are transgender people in prison that are basically in solitary confinement in many situations, in prisons that don't correspond to the gender that they actually are living. And where's that documentary? You know what I mean? Like, where's the funding for that? Is Netflix putting something on that? Because that's a very real issue with people that are still alive that are experiencing that, you know, from the way it's treated with deportation to just regular imprisoning of people. Like, you got Orange Is the New Black, but what about just a documentary on that? Or you know, I know Ava DuVernay's got a deal where she's doing like the history of like some racism type stuff. And there's, you know, there's other documentaries. Central Park 5 is one, I think, called like the 13 or something. Like, so there are things that out there. But yeah, like when you see this take off like it did, go viral like it did, get a season two like it did, you know, you have that moment where you're like, so would this even be possible if Stephen Avery was a black man? If it was some black dude staring at you, looking on the cover of that, would you click on it or would you just go to the next thing on Netflix? And I'm not necessarily blaming Netflix. I just think it's like with most things, it's people that are the issue with this, and what will people do. So at any rate though, thank you for calling in. We didn't get any emails this week, so that's basically the end of the show. We appreciate everybody. I hope I didn't bum everybody out too much with talking about Twitter shit on the show. But you know, like Michelle Obama said, you know, the motto is when they go low, we go high. So I'm gonna continue just trying to egg this shit and not get bogged down and brought back into it. Especially, like I said, a year ago, I knew less about what all Black Lives Matter and black protest and all that power structure and all that stuff was. I knew less about how many transgender people were being killed, you know? Like, I just, right, like everybody's on a path that they're taking that they're hopefully won't be on and won't be stuck there. But at the same time, some people, they get more powerful by dragging you back to the same place over and over and hoping you stay there, right, and never become a better person and never become you know, and never become different, or just they assume the worst of you and leave it at that.
Right. And what I've learned, and I know we're getting ready to go, but what I've learned when it comes to things like this, everybody is allowed to grow and evolve and change, but you're allowed to grow, you're allowed to evolve, you're allowed to change, you're allowed to develop, you're allowed to mature, you're allowed to extend your definition of love, you know, you're allowed to forgive, you're allowed, you want forgiven, you want to be forgiven, you know, you want sympathy and empathy for you and your people and your circumstances, but it's never extended out to anybody else.
Yeah, and And also, I mean, the world has been harsh to people. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like how when white people talk about being allies and they're like, sometimes it's like, I can't do anything right. And it's like, sometimes you can't. Like, nobody's ever going to. There are some people that have been so hurt and so affected, and we're dealing with the scars and the wounds. They are never going to let it go. Like, just your presence is automatically going to forever put them on edge. And they've been, had people that have abused their trust, people that have gained their trust and then turned around. And the same thing happens. Like I said, when it comes to black, straight black men in our community, we are the police. We are the white people of our race. You know what I mean? Like, we are the ones who get to opt out. We are the ones who get to be like, nope, fuck you. I think it's this way. So your opinion doesn't count now. So I can understand how all of those things happen in that conversation that would just trigger somebody to be like, you're one of them, fuck you forever, and I'm gonna say something until everybody in the world agrees with me or whatever. And I think that's what happened. I think that's where we're at. And like I said, my intention isn't to cause any harm, especially no further harm. Like, I'm accepting that this person feels harm. That once that happens, I'm done. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm a human being like you're a human being. I go through shit like you go through shit. I learn from shit like you learn from shit. I, you know, like, I move on just like everything else. But I won't stay stuck there, and I don't want to let that thing, bring me back there. You know what I mean? And it's obvious that it bothers them that other people see me differently than they see me. And that is just gonna have to be a thing they have to learn to live with, because I don't feel that I'm the person they think I am. And there's gonna be a lot of people that, you know, have my back, quote unquote. But my main goal is, I just hope people don't engage them on this in a negative way. You know, if your thing is, I believe them and I just want to go over there and get that, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to tell people what to, you can't believe them, fuck them. I'm not even saying that. I honestly am fine with people that just think I ain't shit. Like, that's fine. Like, we've gotten that big where I'm gonna be trolled. I'm gonna have people say some things that I don't agree with. I'm gonna have people take what we do and what we say in a context that, no matter how we intend it, it's gonna be taken a different way. That's pretty much what this public platform is at this point. But you know, it's just kind of sad to see, especially a lot of this brought back up by somebody that legitimately was harmful to people, you know, like, directly contacted people to try to get him unblocked when people essentially blocked him and said, hey, I don't want to be involved in this shit. Like, it's sad to see that person bring up this other person who I think has a more legitimate gripe with me, even if we ultimately disagree on what I think the people who organize protests and stuff would do when it comes to LGBT people being killed and shit. But I'm, you know, I understand if that makes me a horrible person, then I'll take being a horrible person, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, and I'll be like, well, damn, they really dropped the ball when that person got killed, because, you know, they didn't care since they were on the spectrum. So we'll see. At any rate, we'll be back tomorrow with another show. Hopefully nobody will be trolling me on Twitter during the show. And nobody will be dragging up any drama and shit. And hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. I appreciate y'all listening. And, you know, and like I said, I don't like talking about this shit on the show because it rewards people that honestly get off on the attention. Because honestly, if it's been over a year that someone's had a problem with me and they still talking about me, it's an attention-based thing. Because I have people that I don't like, and it's been over a year. You know what? Fuck them. I'm done. Like, you know, I ain't got to talk about you. You ain't saying shit. I ain't saying shit. We cool. We're not cool. Put it that way. I've moved on. And with the other dude, I mean, this week was just his week of trying to get attention. I really hope his mom said she was going to get him off of social media and he wouldn't be saying shit. But I don't know. The next day he was still making up lies and still trying to rile people up. So I can't even say that with any certainty that person's done. And I can't even say that this conversation isn't going to just be something else they go lie about on social media and start spreading falsehoods and shit about the show and saying anything to get attention, you know. So that's that kind of sympathy pimping right there. Like, I know people will be have sympathy for what I'm going through and what I'm saying, and they won't fact check it, and they won't look into it, and they won't question it. They'll just go, I believe you, and that'll be the end of it. And that's just a hazard of what things are now. Like, and I'm willing to pay that cost, and I'm willing for it to be that hazard. Like, I'd rather people believe folks who say they're being victimized than to start trying to break down these people's stories on my behalf to be like, well, but you lying, and he didn't say that, and you're embellishing. I'd much rather y'all just accept it, because I've accepted it, and, you know, hopefully move on. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.